you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Carson Anderson program today. Gator and Stoney with you. Doug will be back next week. Taking your calls and texts, 248-539-9797. We're talking a lot about the Red Wings and in free agency, and that's underway. And we got the Pistons in free agency that began on Monday. Pistons, I don't know if they're set with their lineup or not, but they did make a couple additions in free agency. We'll get to that in a little bit here. The Red Wings, it seems like the only moves left to make really are to make a trade of some kind. And there aren't a whole lot of rumors about trades. But that doesn't mean that they're not happening. It just means that people aren't keen to what's happening. And Steve Yzerman has always kept things very close to the vest.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope that there's something there. Just running it back with what they have and these minor additions they've made to the team,
it's not good enough.
You want to see the big splash. We all want a big splash. I want a big splash. I make a big splash. I'm a big guy. I'd like to see something. And yet, I can't help but think that the team is slightly better than what they were last year based on the fact that they've got an improvement in the net. They've jettisoned Vladimir Tarasenko from this team. Add Van Riemsdyk, who's better than Tarasenko, but I don't know if it's a ton better, but he's a different type of player, which hopefully suits the style of this team. And I think that the young players getting more than their feet wet last year, like Casper and Edvinson, I think these guys are poised to take a big jump their second year in the league, effectively what would be their second year in the league. So I'm encouraged by that, but that's not enough.
No.
We want to see someone of substance added to this team. Want to see a top four defenseman. Want to see a top six forward. Because if all they're doing is Van Riemsdyk and then competition in training camp, I'm not jazzed about that. You know, like I'd be more jazzed if this team were in worse shape and they had like four spots open and then they with the forward lines and let the young guys fight for those spots.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of fun, getting in on the ground level, sort of what the Tigers have done over the last couple of years. And the Tigers obviously have different kind of success, different sports. But in the NHL, this is a team that has found themselves in NHL purgatory. They're good enough to compete for a playoff spot, but they're not good enough to clinch the playoff spot. And that's been 3 years in a row they've done that. They've teased us all with being better than we thought they would be come March, and then this epic collapse happens in March and carries on into April, and it's too much to overcome. And the next thing you know, you're missing the playoffs by a point or a couple of points.
The last nine whatever years it's been, they were like basically what the Washington Wizards in the NBA has been for like three decades, where sometimes they're good enough to get in and then they do nothing. Some years they're like the worst team in the league, like the Red Wings were a couple years ago, and they haven't been able to get out of that. And it's tough because they're not horrific. And the one year that they were horrific, they didn't even get the number one pick in the draft, which actually ended up being the benefit because there would have been Lafreniere, and he really
right. He
didn't
hasn't
do
exactly
much.
been great either. Yeah, and I mean, one of the painful things about this is the waiting. It's just being patient, told to be patient, and having to be patient, waiting to see. I mean, the quickest way you can change your fortunes in the NHL, the quickest way, is goaltending.
Yeah,
and by all accounts, the Red Wings have some pretty good stockpiled goaltenders in their system, but Kosa hasn't broken through yet. Dipped a toe in the water last year for a half a game, and then for whatever reason, they didn't give him a start, which was beyond
me. And supposedly he did not play well for Grand Rapids in the playoffs. Augustine has looked pretty good for Michigan State, but
Augustine's been pretty great at Michigan State.
Right, he's going back, so he's obviously he doesn't think he's ready yet. They signed a goalie from I believe the Czech Republic a few weeks ago, yeah. And then they drafted one too. So maybe Sebastian Kosa is not all that we or the Red Wings have hoped that he'd be.
Yeah, they also have somebody else in their system who is like ridiculously good last year at the lower levels of minor hockey that was undefeated for a while, had like a crazy save percentage. I don't know if they know if they think that that's a prospect, but he just had a crazy year nonetheless. To the phones we go, 248-539-9797. John is in Farmington Hills. John, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
All right,
hey, John, how are you?
Pretty good. I'll admit I am not a hockey fan. However, I happened to catch that news conference that Eisenman did, I don't know, a month ago, whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, I found him to be unenthusiastic, vague, arrogant, directionless. If I owned that team, he would be the first one that I'd get rid of. He should have been gone. I would have given him 4 years, and I would have got rid of him after that if he didn't start producing something. Just because you're a good player does not translate in any sport, does not translate to being a good coach or general manager.
Well, that has nothing to do with anything. It's that he did a good job.
Well, he did a great job at Tampa.
That's the thing. It's not that it just made him a general manager because he played here.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did they win in Tampa? Did he win in Tampa?
He helped build some of the team, not all of it. Some of their players were there before he got there, but he drafted a lot of the players that are still really good there.
I don't know. If I spent that kind of money on somebody like you, look at the enthusiasm of a Dan Campbell, and then look at the enthusiasm of this guy, night and day.
Well, one's a head coach and the other's a GM. But I understand your point. But I think people make way too much out of press conferences, out of what happens in front of cameras and microphones.
I agree. I learned the hard way when Bobby Ross, you know, told people guys were going to get bus tickets out of town. And I said, oh, this is the kind of coach we need. Boy, how'd that work out?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was blown away by Jim Caldwell at his press conference. Jim Caldwell was a pretty good coach Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday could come around and something else would happen. I like Jim Caldwell a lot. Great leader of men, I thought, but Sunday's just left something lacking despite the fact he did have some wins there.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to general managers, you don't see, I mean, great general managers aren't very demonstrative.
No.
But to his point, Steve Yzerman, in the last couple press conferences you've seen him at, he has been a little combative. Just a little combative, mm-hmm, in his own way. And I feel like he catches himself and tries to, you know, like, he'll say, well, you know, I'm open to it. You've got any ideas? And then he'll be like, I mean, I'm serious about that, and tries to soften it a little bit. But I think you can tell that he's getting a little frustrated too. We'll see what he ends up doing here. But I always talk about the seat warmer. Is he on the hot seat or not? Well, when you step into your car and it's January and the first thing you do is you put the seat warmer on. Is it on level one, level two, or level three? You know, as the season went on and this team failed again in March to make that move, I said the seat warmer is on level three. How long is it going to stay on level three, keeping your buns warm before you say, all right, I got to get out? Because now we're getting into the summer months. Got to make something happen. And if this team starts off and they're in bad shape for the first couple months next season, we'll see what they decide to do. But I think that seat is awfully hot for Steve Yzerman, even though he doesn't recognize that, or he doesn't recognize it in the public.
He's very confident
in what he's doing, and it's his plan. He's going to stick by it. And hey, you know what? I'm here. That's fine. But this is what I believe in.
The question is, who determines the hot seat? Okay. If you're determining the hot seat by what comes off of, you know, our mouths and other people in this radio station and a lot of the fans, yeah, the seat is freaking hell. It's that hot, okay? But we have no idea what the Ilitch is.
No, it's Chris Ilitch is the one that makes that decision.
That's the one, and I really don't think the seat's that hot right now.
No, we'll find out.
Yeah.
And we'll see how the team responds. But nonetheless, this has been a disappointing start to this off season for sure. Don is in Howell. You're next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. Is it possible that we can draw some comparisons between the Tigers and the Red Wings? Maybe a, let's just rewind maybe about 2 years for the Tigers when we might have been not sure what Scott Harris's plan was for the team. And then all of a sudden, they had that beautiful stretch at the end of the year and made the playoffs and won a playoff series. And now they carried all that momentum into this first half of the next season. Don't you think at some point when these younger kids find their way up and things start to click that it's going to happen just as quickly for them as it did for the Tigers?
No. Different sports. I think the competition in their division and their conference is way too difficult.
And the disappointment that you have with the free agency right now is, do you want them to make a move for a larger person because you want them to make the playoffs, or is it because you think if they just got one larger piece that they could go deep into the playoffs? I feel like they're a few players away, and they have younger kids that are going to be coming up. So why would he spend on somebody because he wants to make the playoffs?
I hear you.
Honestly, these kids are on the cusp of making it anyway.
No, I understand what you're saying, Don. I understand what you're saying, and thanks for the call. It's no, I don't want to add a player just for the sake of adding a player, just for the sake of making the playoffs. No, and they're not doing that. And Yzerman has been pretty clear about the plan. If
correct.
They're going to add players to this, they want to add players that are going to be here for years to come. That's right. Why they're never doing they didn't want to do the rental thing when it comes to trade deadline stuff. And I don't think they want to necessarily do rental things right now. There are bridge players you can get. And I mentioned Brent Burns would be a bridge player, but that's not the big signing. If you're going to go out and make a splash and you go out and find a way to deal for Jason Robertson.
Yes.
That's different. A big move, and it's one that makes sense.
Young player will be here for a while. Look, he said it, whether you agree with it or not, he is not interested in making the playoffs. He's interested in contending for the championship.
Yeah,
now, obviously, you have to make the playoffs first. And the reason why making the playoffs is important for a young team is you get that playoff experience as you build towards that.
Has it shaken your confidence at all? 248-539-9797. Or are you already at the point, enough is enough, this isn't working? Or, you know, do you give this a few weeks still? I mean, we're not even 24 hours in. We're literally 23 hours into free agency. And, you know, off-season movement, give it a little bit of time, I guess, before I'm going to get completely frustrated. But I am frustrated. We'll switch gears to the Pistons as well, coming up next year, 97.1 The Ticket.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.